Tonight, James denounces the mole people. Mike bugs out at a flying bison. And we eat rat wings.
James from survivalpunk.com.
Couch Potato Mike. Hello there, children.
Good to have you back, the real Couch Potato Mike.
I want to make love to your assholes.
You know, of course, I'm going to extract that out as an audio file so I can use it as blackmail in the future.
Oh, you bastard. Yeah, I was very, very shocked driving home from work the other day and found out that I had somehow made it into the last podcast in the form of Chef.
Yeah, yourself, Chef, and his father.
Oh, well, let me tell the damn story now.
It don't matter what we had for dinner.
Oh, my God.
That was a brutal bunch of editing, but it was fun.
Oh, my God. No, you damn near made me wreck on the interstate. That was awesome.
Yes, which would have sucked, because then we'd have to always couch. We'd have to always chef you up.
Oh, my God. But I am back. I am back in the co-pilot chair here. I know I've been off for a few weeks, and no, I haven't been sick. I haven't been busy. We are just horrible, horrible at planning to do the podcast on his day off.
Yeah.
There's so many other things we'd rather be doing.
Yeah. The way my schedule falls, it's weird where I really only have one true day off, and then I have some weird pieces in between naps, which is funky. And I never know when I'm going to be awake or asleep. I went to bed last night at 9-ish, like 9.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, and I got up somewhere around, I don't know, 3 in the morning. So I've been up. I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes of the new Voltron Season 2 on, not on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Netflix exclusive, yeah. So I watched that. It's, well,
In the modern day of bootlegging, there's no such thing as an exclusive anymore.
No. And you know what? I oddly get a little annoyed when I see things like stores, like new release DVDs, and like in their little PDQ box, it'll be like, not available on streaming or Netflix for years. And I'm like, well, that sucks for you. I guess you don't like money and don't want people to see your product.
Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, it's like, we're snobs, and we don't like money. Well, good luck there, because, yeah.
I mean, hell, Kevin Smith, he, like, moves his movies to Netflix, like, as quickly as, like, is appropriate. I mean, he doesn't, like, Yoga Hoser's already on Netflix. I mean, his last few movies have gone, like, to Netflix quickly.
Yeah.
Because he wants people to see him. He doesn't really care that much about the profits on it as much as he wants people to see his product.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you make fans.
Yeah, and he's got diehard fans.
So yeah. I was going to say, what do we have coming up today?
I don't have the board out.
You don't have the board out?
No. It's too late for that.
Yeah, it is.
So you tell us what's coming up today. Oh, wait. Bug out plan. Foot, car, other, resupply, and caches.
Yes. We're going to talk about bug out, resupply, and caches.
Foot, car.
Yes.
You mean the Flintstones?
No. I leave myself sort of cryptic notes because I know what they mean sometimes. Although sometimes I'll read my my show notes that I write and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that means. But usually,
yeah, I've seen you skip shit before because you could not fucking remember what the hell it means.
Yeah.
Maybe put a little bit more detail in the notes.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
You're not going to.
So, yeah, this is one of the things that I really haven't seen covered much, if at all, on any of the survival websites, blogs, videos, or much. Like,
which is why we are the most electrifying podcast on survival entertainment.
That is correct, Michael Buffer. That is correct. I will not have Bret Hart kick you through the window. or Shawn Michaels or whatever.
Oh my God!
Yeah, we were super talking about wrestling the other day.
The other day being last night
or yesterday. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I was on the drive home.
Yeah, which for me was like 3 days ago or something.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so I haven't really heard a lot about planning resupply trips and resupply caches into your bug out plan. I have seen a lot of people talk about making caches, you know, for various reasons. And me and Mike at some point will go make a few, maybe one at least, a few maybe, because they're like a fun project to do. And if you have kids, say, hey kids, we're gonna go out in the woods and dig holes. There's no kid ever that's like, no, I don't really want to go dig a hole. Like, for some reason, it's like...
Oh, you'll find several of them in my house.
Well, I know. Well, no. I know for a fact I can go in your house and get at least two of them to dig holes. No, all of them. I have got all of your kids to dig holes before.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Yes, when I was doing that...
That was before they had the Xboxes, though.
Well, they'll get bored. Kids will always want to dig holes until they get to a certain age and they're like, well, I don't really want to dig anymore. Whatever. I'm not down with it. Yeah, it's some ingrained human feet factor where kids are ingrained to, like, dig holes. I don't understand it, but, yeah. So, yeah, it'd be a fun project for your kids.
Yeah, I dug a handful of holes when I was a kid. They never got too deep. I'd get bored.
At some point when I was, like, I don't know, 6 or 7, I was like, I think I can dig a hole to China. I started digging this massive hole in my yard.
Jesus Christ.
My mom stopped me at, like, 5 feet. She's like, you got to dig. You got to bury that in. You got to stop. You're not going to make it to China, and you're just going to ruin the yard.
You're going to get stuck down there. Boy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man.
Interestingly enough, if you dig straight down from every place, from any place in the continental United States, Alaska or Hawaii, or any of its territories, you will never hit China.
Yeah.
You'll always end up in the southern hemisphere. China's in the northern hemisphere.
Well, you'd probably hit the core and die.
Well, just, you know, hypothetically, if you could dig straight down, you'd never hit China.
Yeah.
You might hit parts of Australia.
Yeah.
Which would almost be worth it. But you know how long it would take to dig through the planet?
Yes. I get really intrigued by things like journey to the center of the Earth. Like, there has to be caverns down there and unexplored things and possibly even creatures. I don't mean like mole people, but I just mean like species of animals we don't know about.
Don't tell me there's no fucking mole people. There's got to be mole people down there.
Yeah, or gremlins, or the center of the Earth is gold or something, but...
That's where the dragons be.
I don't know. I have an exploring part of my personality, and I want to find these things out. But anyway... It's not even 10 minutes in and we're super off track about Jules Verne and shit.
Buddy, we have to go back to the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah. It's gone all wrong.
Great Scott.
So, yeah. You know, when you're planning your bug out plan, and you should have a bug out plan in place for every contingency. I don't mean like, you know, have a plan for, I stubbed my toe, what should I do? No, I meant like any time that you have to bug out, i.e. Chemical spill or something is like you're being forced to evacuate your home, at least for a short term, natural disaster, or the shit has hit the fan, you know, you need to have plans in place for, one, you need to go to a bug out location, or, you know, like it's just a minor local, like, there's a gas leak and you have to leave your block while people clean up the gas leak. You know, things like this happen. These are fairly common occurrences. It's not like, you know, the shit hits the fan, which, you know, has really never truly happened on a national scale here in the United States.
Well, not in our lifetime.
No. Yeah. I mean, not in this couple centuries. This
I mean, I would
probably.
Say the Great Depression was close to the shit hitting the fan, if not the shit had
it,
hit the
okay,
fan.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the Great Depression would be the worst shit hit the fan that has happened to North America in, you know, probably human history.
Mm-hmm.
not counting the Ice Age, if you guys want to pull that up. No, not counting the Ice Age. That would be the greatest disaster.
We weren't around for that, though.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been like the Asians that crossed the Bering Strait that would have been afterwards. So yeah, whatever. Before that, there would have been no humans on this continent.
No.
Probably. Unless aliens put them there. So yeah, while you're bugging out, you might want to think about not carrying all of your supplies, or the fact that you may run out of certain consumable-type supplies, and having a cache, having resupply points and plans in place could be useful. And there's a couple different... So basically, as far as resupply goes, and I may be missing some, but these are the ones that I can think of, and they are having caches, having resupply trips, having mail drops... And scroll computer, scroll 122, scavenging excursions, which is not just for the shit hit the fan, and I will tell you why. So, first of all, we need to talk about how you plan to bug out, which, of course, your plan may vary depending on your situations. You know, a meteor might come hit your neighborhood, and your car is one of the things it destroys. So if your plan is to bug out with your car, it's not going to happen with a meteor sitting on it.
That would suck.
It wouldn't. Well,
and it'd be just my fucking luck.
I'd heard some stories about preppers who've had like natural disasters or things like trees or house fires, like an earthquake destroyed their home with all of their food supplies in it.
Oh, that sucks.
Which is, you know, why you don't keep all your eggs in one basket, and why you have multiple stores and caches around the house and around your property, and why to have caches like we were talking about in this episode.
You know, I believe there's an old saying like that, something about eggs and baskets and things like that.
Was it when in Rome, don't eat all your chickens?
Maybe.
Okay.
I think it's just don't put all your eggs in one basket.
No, yeah, you're right. I was being a smartass.
Don't put the cart before the horse either. That's good advice.
Right. I think that means Wells vagina.
Maybe only in Norwegian.
Yeah. You need to think about if you're bugging out on foot, in a car, or other. Like
that's what that means!
Yes.
I'm like, foot car other.
Foot car other, yeah.
Foot car other.
You may have like
the scat man?
Bug out. Bicycle, you know, you may have a bug out bicycle, bug
I
out.
I swear to God,
bike.
I thought you were about to say bug out bison. Appa, yip yip.
Yes, you may have a bug out flying bison.
You know damn well you'd bug out on a flying bison.
Yes, I would.
Don't even lie to me.
So yeah, obviously, if you're bugging out in your car and you have a well supplied bug out vehicle, then your necessity to have some resupply caches in some ways is less. You might want to consider. Feasibly, there are possibly ways to cache gas caches. You'd have to rotate them a lot, which would kind of ruin the OPSEC, i.e., if you're going to a location hidden in the woods often that has, like, you know, a gas can, like a sealed gas can with stable in it, someone might see you going in and out of the woods and think you're a moonshiner or something. Probably not the best, but there might be ways to, you know, figure a way around that.
Why do they always do it in the woods? I mean, did the moonshiners ever, like, do it in a building?
Did do it in buildings.
I mean, was it just a way to keep it out of their main house? That way when the 5-0 shows up, they don't find their still?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it was old traditions, mountain men doing it in the woods, so...
Yeah, by the light of the moon, which is why they called it moonshiners.
Yeah. And use, like, the best spring water and build your steel, your stuff from, like, muds and whatnot, so yeah.
You know, that's how NASCAR started. It's basically moonshiners with souped-up streetcars fucking racing them.
Yep, I did know that.
They needed the souped-up cars to outrun the law.
Damn old Jimmy Law.
Yep.
Johnny Law, whatever. So
Jimmy Law.
Jimmy Law. So yeah, let's talk about caches first.
Okay, caches. Geocaches? I've done that.
Well, we'll mention geocaches.
Yay!
So caches are hidden supplies to be used during an emergency. A method a lot of people use is to take like a PVC pipe, usually like a 4-inch or so PVC pipe, cap one end.
We can't tell them how to make bombs, dude.
No. So you cap one end, and then you put like a screw-off cap on the other end, and then you stash your stuff inside that tube and then bury it with, you know, like a post hole digger. So you drop it in the ground or you bury it long ways. Usually you use a post hole digger and drop it straight down. People might just think it's a sewage pipe and they're not going to fuck with it. You know, you can bury 5-gallon buckets. You can bury ammo cans.
Anything, oh, yeah.
Just like waterproof Pelican things. Whatever you bury, and make sure that you know where it's at.
Yeah, I was about to say that. You got to find either some way of mapping it very, very accurately or making some kind of a like a sign that'll point it out to you that nobody else will get.
Yeah, I mean, you can go old school pirate, like 7 steps to your left, turn to your right, below the X trees or whatever. Or any cell phone now, you can drop pinned locations and go right to it, just like with a geocache.
I think a great way of doing it would be like camouflaging it of some type. Like put something on top of it that nobody would bother fucking with, like a fake sign of some sort. Shit like that. You're like, oh, this looks official. I'm just going to leave it alone. I mean, who wants to, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that, you know what? I had left a note here to talk about geocaching techniques. And if you've ever done any geocaching, and I really think you should. Just for,
geocaching is cool.
Yeah, I mean, for the exercise, for the like the navigation abilities, the just fun. I mean, geocaching is good, and you can learn some neat tricks on how to hide things.
You really fucking can. And for those of you that don't know what geocaching is, basically, there's this website, geocaching.something or other. Com? Is it a com?
It's probably all of them. It's probably com.org, net. It's probably all of them.
Well, basically, people all over the world have hidden geocaches, which is basically some kind of a small container or whatever. A lot of times, it just has a list of names. People who have found the geocache inside. Sometimes they have prize buckets, various different things, and they just hide them. Sometimes damn near in plain sight, but nobody fucking sees them. And the whole point of it is you try to get coordinates. They'll give you coordinates. They'll give you clues. People will post hints and all that stuff. And you just go try to find them when you have nothing else better to do. It's like modern day treasure hunting almost. And it's just really fun. I've taken the kids to go do it.
Yeah. One of the best ones I saw hidden, and I'll give a few examples. They had taken an electrical box you'd see on like the side of a house or an electrical pole or whatever, like, you know, it has like the metal lid that you pull open and then usually like a breaker box in there or something. They took that, they attached a strong neodymium magnet inside of it so it stuck to a metal light pole, like the square kind, and they just stuck it on there.
They put it next to other boxes of the same type.
Yes, that was the one out by
Applebee's.
Applebee's, yeah. It looked the other boxes next to it, and
the only way you found it was there was no wires leading into it.
Yes, the other boxes had wires leading into it. So, the mind sort of overlooks these things. It just will assume there's wires in it unless you're specifically looking for it. And, you know, we kind of got lucky.
Didn't you say you found one in, like, the top of, like, a fence post one time? Like, it had a fake top on it?
Yeah, well, no, it was like a real, like, so the fence posts have those, like, little metal capper things on them. And they had, like, they had taken one of those. So I guess they had removed the one on it, if it even had one. And they'd put a different one on there. And, like, they had a string or a wire attached to the inside that led down to, like, a tube. And you pulled the whole thing up, and there enough was your cash. So yeah. You could stash money or something like that. You know, something small that you could stash.
Yeah, not like you. I definitely recommend anybody that wants to start planning cash, you should go geocache hunting, because it will teach you some very fucking clever places to hide shit. I mean, guardrails. They have little niches in the back of it, little void spaces of just empty space where the post actually meets the guardrail that hundreds, nay, thousands of people will pass by every day, not ever realizing that there could be a geocache in there, and we've seen it.
Yes.
Like a Highway 12 in Ashland City, spoilers, geocache hunters, has like a geocache in damn near every single guardrail.
Yeah, there's a ton of them there, and you get like a magnetic like lock box, and you just throw it on there, and you know, for like resupply trips, you can throw like a couple quarters and like maybe a $10 or $20 bill in there, something you really won't miss.
Yeah, I mean, that is the beautiful thing about caches, geocache or the caches you plant. Most of the time, people won't find stuff they're not looking for.
Exactly. And with these caches, you will have GPS coordinates, but you're not going to put them out on the interwebs for everyone to find them. So it's like a chance in a million of someone stumbling across them on their own and finding them. Because a lot of these ones, you'll have a hard time finding when you're looking for them. And you're within, like, you know, a 10, 15 foot, you know, area.
Oh, God, do you remember that one fucking time we were finding that one down off 8th Avenue? And me, you, and my wife were just wandering around for like half an hour in this one small little park area. And we had passed under it like at least 30 times. It was like they had a geocache, a very small tube cache. It was like on a tree limb.
Oh, yeah.
And we literally walked under the damn thing at least 30 times before we finally found it.
Yeah. Yeah. There are so many interesting techniques to hide the caches of varying sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I found good was it was on a street light, and it was on like a sort of a concrete pillar, and then it went up, and there was like a metal box, and then the metal box surrounded the pole, and the pole went up to the light. That metal box at its base wasn't attached to anything. Like, you could pull it up, and there was a void space beneath it.
Oh, yeah.
And why would anyone ever have to pull that up?
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, the only people that ever have to pull that up would be, like, maintenance workers. Or
right.
Like...
And if you took one of those magnetic key boxes and stuck to the top inside of it...
You'd pull it up, you'd pull the cache up with it.
Yeah, you would, I mean, God.
Yeah, tip...
You'd have to seriously know it was there and go looking for it.
Yep. That's a tip to all those of you who want to go geocache hunting. They call those skirt lifting.
Yes. Yes. If you see that terminology, that's probably what it means.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, usually a square skirt on a pole that's not really attached to anything that you can just lift up to get the nuts underneath it.
That's what she said. Yeah, giggity. So, like, you should probably look in the geocaching to learn some of these tips and tricks.
Oh, yeah.
To then, you know, take out and then do your own caches.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can, like we're talking about, you can do the buried caches along your route. And what I like, what I would like to do is try to do, so I tell you that you should have three ways to get to your three bug out locations in an emergency. Of course, in things like if in a...
minimum.
Yes. In a non-shit hit the fan, if you're one of your bug out locations is a, you know, a hotel, probably... There might be ways to do it. You could be clever and hide some stuff like in and around a hotel.
Oh God, dude! People have found shit hidden in hotels, all sorts. They found like massive amounts of cash, like putting plastic bags into the tank of the toilets.
Yeah. So there may be a way to do that where you can hide stuff in and around the hotel.
Along
the routes.
Oh, here's a kicker for you. Almost every hotel and motel will have like some kind of fucking shitty cheap artwork on the wall. Some framed paint, you know, fake print or something on the wall, and people have hidden, like, shit like that. I mean, if it's nothing more than a sheet of directions, because nobody looks behind those. The cleaning
right.
staff, well, they'll never even touch those unless they're, like, insanely crooked on the wall.
No. So, yeah. And
problem with hiding shit in hotel rooms, you gotta make sure that you get the same room.
Right. That's why, like, maybe outside, maybe around the parking lot, or better yet, on the route to it. So,
of course, and then you got to watch out for people that know shit like this, like me, because ever since I found out that people will hide shit like that in hotel rooms, every hotel and motel room I've ever been in, I start looking for stuff.
Yeah. Ugh.
If you've ever seen the movie Four Rooms, it's easy apparently to hide a dead hooker under a mattress.
Well, there you go. So yeah, maybe one cache on each of your routes, to varying degrees. Like, if you think that you're a higher likelihood of taking one route, then you should maybe put a bigger stash there. But really, you need to make equal stashes on all locations.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of making like a good one and three small ones, maybe just put them one at a time and, you know, work your way from like highest likelihood of using to least likelihood of using.
Yeah.
Until you can, you know, I mean, because I know we're not made of money. We can't all just, you know, go out and buy and build all these caches at once. So,
and another piece of advice I have for people that are going to be hiding caches, do it. Okay. You want to do it in a place that's not going to be heavily trafficked. First off, you're not going to, and you want to make sure nobody's around when you hide that fucking cache. Yes. You don't need people seeing, and don't go visiting it a lot. I mean, it's okay to go through there and do a passive scan or whatever, like walk past it, make sure it hasn't been disturbed or anything like that. Don't continuously draw attention to your cache locations, though.
No, I mean, maybe...
Humans are thieves.
Yeah, I would probably not risk but a quarterly check of it.
Yeah, just to make sure it hadn't been fucked with.
Yeah, yeah. Because any more than that, yeah, you could just draw attention to it and then ruin the whole point of it, and then you have to find a new location.
Yep.
And make sure people aren't watching you when you do it. So,
another, as a matter of fact, don't even tell anybody that you're going to go do this. Oh, I'm going to go check, make sure my caches are okay.
Yeah, definitely don't tell anyone.
Sure as hell don't put it on social media.
No, that doesn't need to go anywhere on there.
Matter of fact, you know what? That's a thing. Never tell people on social media when you're going somewhere, when you're not going to be home, because burglars like to watch shit like that.
Well, the other effect of that is sometimes you really should tell people in case things go wrong.
That's why they invented the fucking telephone.
Meh.
You tell your close friends over the phone, not on fucking social media where everybody could fucking see it. Burglars watch out for shit like, we are enjoying ourselves on vacation, the whole family. They're like, that means their house is empty. Oh, we're going out to the big concert on Friday night. They're not going to be home on Friday night.
Yeah.
Found that out from a TV show called Hacking the System.
Oh, yeah. Good show.
That guy.
Brian Brushwood.
Didn't he want to be on our show?
We were trying to work something out.
We need to get him on the show. I liked him.
We do.
He also teaches you how to cheat the Taco Bell menu.
That was interesting. Yeah, so if you have Netflix or any other way of stealing TV shows, go watch Hacking the System. It's a good show.
Yeah.
So another thing you can do, and I really recommend this because it's a lot safer and will probably not get stolen as likely. And it's have sort of an open agreement with your friends. If you can plan your bug out routes with people that you know along the route, you can stash things somewhere in and around their house.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have like a garage, just be like, oh, I'm going to keep this box in here, okay? And they'll be like, okay. You know, if you're close enough, you can really, like with Mike, it'd be like, hey, Mike, I'm gonna hide this box of bug out supplies at your house, which would be pointless because he's next door.
Our houses damn near touch each other.
Pretty much, yeah. Which would be pointless in that case, but before it would have been good. You know, whereas like, and I'll be like, oh, I'll keep a box here. So if you need to come here, you blah, 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 blah. You know, have that open agreement between your friends that you each can store supplies at each other's house.
I mean, if you've got those good close friends where you can just basically walk up in their house and them not be offended by it. Yeah. Those are the kind of places that you want to fucking hide shit.
Yes.
Let them know about it, of course.
Yeah. So next up is a resupply trip. So. Obviously, in a like complete shit hit the fan, this is going to be a bit harder. But in a local regional type thing where you're just having to like leave your area, yeah, you can just stop at stores. I mean, you can just stop at, you know, any of the stores or whatnot and just resupply yourself. You know, if you're on foot, then you can swing by the stores. If you're in a car, you know, so it's easier. And one of the things that I'd recommend is, you know your bug out routes. You know, don't just pick them on a map willy-nilly and never drive them. Pick your bug out routes and then actually drive them, you know, to see what's there, to make sure that they're like, you're not driving through like a gangster bad neighborhood where you get shot, you know. Like, check out the area that you're going to be driving through.
Fuck yeah.
Make notes of the things around you, the stores or whatever. You know, like, if you're making a resupply trip, you know, maybe this store is not as good as that store, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one store has cheaper prices. And if you're bugging out, you know, if you had to leave your house and you're going to be, like, out of work for a week or so and you're limited budget, you want to spend less money at a store.
Yeah. I mean, do rehearsal runs, for God's sake.
Yes, that would be an episode in and of itself there that would be fun. So, yeah, just know these things. Pick the ones that you will use and get their names, their phone numbers, and then, you know, if you're bugging out and you need gas, you can call ahead to, like, Jim Bob's convenience store. Hey, Jim Bob, do you have any gas left? Well, yeah. Okay, I'll swing by there. You know, and if he doesn't, then, you know, just switch to, you know, your backup location or your backup gas station.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, and we've said several times during this, no three ways to get to your stuff, okay? On each of those routes, try to find little excursion places, too. Like, oh, if this road is blocked, I can cut around this road and continue basically along my main route. I've always had a saying, no six ways to get anywhere.
Yeah, that'll definitely work. You know, it, in some places, it gets a bit willy-nilly. Like, at one point, when my bug-out plan was to come to your place, well, I had three bug-out locations and three ways to get to all three bug-out locations.
Are you talking about the Great Flood?
Well, no, just in general. Like, but to get to your house, there was a basically our two locations were split by the Cumberland River, so I had to go to some point that had a bridge crossover.
Technically, they were split by two, the Cumberland and the Harpeth.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had to get bridges to get over, and there's only so many bridges along the way.
Oh, God, and during that fucking the Great Flood of a few years
it
ago?
It cut off a whole bunch of those locations.
It did.
So, yeah, I think at one point, I think to get to your house during the Great Flood in Nashville of 2012, I think,
mm-hmm.
I actually had to drive all the way to Nashville up and around and then I think take the interstate out.
Good God.
Yeah. Which is a super roundabout way to get to your place.
Oh, yeah. That's psychotically a long way around.
But it was the only way available and I happened to know that that would work, so I took it.
Why didn't you go? Now, you, I don't think you could have. Could you have gone through Clarksville? You would have actually had to still cross rivers to get there.
Yeah, I, maybe.
No, you would have, yeah, you would have had to cross back over the rivers coming in from the other side.
True. Mm. See, I don't know. Whatever it was, it happened to work.
But, I mean, hell, right there, we just listed three ways to get from your old apartment to my house.
Yes, without actually giving locations.
Yeah.
Another thing is I would like to say that to pick out some of the lesser used locations so you know they'll be less crowded. So, you know, if there's like on the way from my old apartment to Mike's house, there were two convenience stores and one was definitely the less busy of the two. They were split by a pretty big distance. One was closer to Ashland City to town.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say it was a lot busier. And then the other one just basically had the old people sitting out front and really not a lot of business.
Oh, that was so fucking funny. I mean, and they still do that, you know.
They're still sitting out there.
Every morning you see a bunch of old guys just sitting out in front of this fucking place. They have chairs and benches out there just for the old guys, old timers to come out and sit and talk.
It's damn near every single gas station I see, there's always like an old timer crowd that hangs out there.
And I can't figure out what the hell they still have to talk about, because literally it seems like all they do is that.
Dude, I have no idea. I don't know. I know. Hold on. There's a really interesting.
They had to take a pint of fluid out of my back.
Yeah. There's an interesting store in not quite Ashland City, like in between Ashland City and Nashville, Lewis Country Store. In case you ever go by there, and one morning going in there, they had the usual old timer sitting on the front porch, and one of them was playing a fiddle.
What the fuck?
Yep. Just whipped out his fiddle and just went to town. So, one other point I want to make on the resupply trips is, so we've said, you know, pick the one with the better prices, pick some of the ones that are less busy, you know, so you know that you won't have crowds and they probably have a more selection because they won't have been picked over as badly. Lastly,
but don't forget about the other ones, by the way. Just list them all.
Yes. I mean, you kind of have your like order of operations, which stores you want to go to first and then second, third,
rank
fourth,
them.
Fifth. Yeah. And then last on that list would be stores that you want to avoid.
Yeah.
And I'm talking ones that say they get robbed more than other stores, like the ones that have the bad crowd, you know, like the bums and the ruffians that hang about outside. You know, like, I'm okay with going to a store that has old farts sitting outside. They may accost you with, like, stories about their youth. okay, that's nice, Grandpa. Have a good day. I'm talking about the ones that, like, so, my car just broke down. I just need a dollar. I just need a dollar to get some gas, and I'll mail it back to you. I'll mail it back to you. I swear to God I'll mail it back to you. They will never mail it back to you. That's dumb.
I need a
and don't give them your
fitty.
Address. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty.
Don't let them Loch Ness monsters hit you up for money. So, yeah. You want to have, like, those stores, you know, where it's, like, store to avoid, you know, and rank them, like... Probably shouldn't be bugging out through a bad area, but you may have to. You may have to. So make a note and try to avoid those gas stations. And if you do have to stop, then by all means, employ all your situational awareness. You know, do things like circle the gas station and look out for people. Make sure you lock your doors. You know, take all the situational awareness precautions you need if you do have to resort to going to those locations.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause no one wants to have to give the Loch Ness Monster Tree Fitty.
Tree Fitty.
Or get shot. That's also not good.
No. I mean, plus you think, if those places got a bad element out in front of them during, like, the calm times, what the fuck's it going to be like when the shit really does hit the fan?
Exactly. Next up, it may sound kind of weird, and it's mail drops. And you're thinking, how are you going to have mail drops in a bug out, James?
Mail time!
Yes. So, if you've ever seen or heard anything about the hiking the Appalachian Trail, a lot of the ways that it's able to be done, especially with like a backpack, is there are post offices along the way, and you can have people mail you stuff to go pick up to resupply yourself along the trail. So you're not, like, really having, like, because these post offices, drop boxes are, like, pretty much right off the trail. Like, you just kind of walk off, go pick up your stuff, get your food, your shoes, whatever you need, and keep going about your business.
I always wondered, that's one thing I've always wondered. Can you actually mail, can you just mail something to the post office? And if so, how would you address it?
That's something to look into, and I thought about researching it a little bit to find it out.
And you just write U.S. post office and then the zip code? I mean, it seems like that would be simple enough.
Yeah.
But it's probably a hell of a lot more complicated than that because, you know, it's government and government makes everything more complicated and triplicate.
It might be. It might be that easy. You show up at the post office, hey, I have something to pick up, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But, you know, something you can do, like we said, if you have friends along the location and you're, like, walking, you could – I was like, you could use Amazon Prime to, like, 2-day ship something to an address, you know, like, a little bit ahead of you. Like, say you have your bug-out location. And you're bugging out to your bug out location, you know, whether if the shit hit the fan, the Amazon's probably not going to run. But if it's a personal shit hit the fan and you're going there, then you could use this. You could have Amazon 2-day ship stuff to your bug out location and it'll be there when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, especially if you're going on foot and it's going to take like, you know, you're going to have to spend it overnight in the woods or somewhere along the trail or stop at a hotel before you continue on your trip. And then keep going, then it'll be there more than likely. Or it'll be there shortly after you arrive.
I mean, because it would be nice, you know, like, because, okay, anybody's got a bug out bag knows that another name for a bug out bag is a 72-hour bag. Because you're supposed to have enough shit to get you through the first 3 days of a shit hit the fan situation. And if you've got places like that that can, you know, 2-day air you and all that shit, you can have like another fucking 72 hours waiting for you.
Exactly, or even more. You know, like, if you're part of your bug out plan is to go to a hotel, and you have relations with that hotel, like you've talked to them, like you know some of the managers or whatever, you can arrange, I'm sure, to have the mail go there, courtesy of you. You know, pretty much timed out for when you arrive.
Oh, my company, we've shipped shit to hotels a lot of times.
Yeah, so I mean that's not even that hard of a thing. You know, like so. Plan ahead, use, you know, I'm saying Amazon, for example, because they are fast shipping and, you know, whatever. But your other services, you could order and have it go to your bug out location, whether that be a, you know, an actual bug out location, a hotel, you know, a friend's house, all of these things. You know, if your bug out location is a hidden shack in the woods, probably not going to work for you. But like I said, maybe you can make arrangements with, you know, I'm not sure, but you might be able to get a P.O. box at, you know, ahead of time and have it, No, you could have a P.O. box close to your bug out location and then have things go there and go pick them up. That you know, if you can't just mail things to like post office, blah, 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 zip code 370, whatever. I cut off my zip code. I was about to give it out.
You straight up were.
Yep. Yeah. So if you can't do that, you can get a P.O. box, you know, by your bug out location and just have things go straight to there and go pick them up.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, a mail drop is a viable.
How much do P.O. boxes usually cost?
Depends on your size. Hmm. Apparently, there's a bunch of different sizes. I think the biggest size is like $60 a year.
A year.
Which is a tax write-off. Yeah.
That's $5 a month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's for the big ones, you said.
It's for the big ones, like for packages. Yeah.
Yeah, most people can afford that.
Yeah. I mean, I've looked at getting one for the YouTube and the podcast or whatever so I can give out the address that way because our post office is kind of janky.
Need to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, does our post office even have P.O. boxes?
They do. The price I quoted is $60 a year is from that actual location. So, yeah. It may vary in your locations. It may be cheaper, actually.
Yeah, that way we could be like, send your stuff to Survival Punks at P.O. Box.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Blah, 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 350.
Yeah, so I think we've covered mail drops, that it is a, you know, a possibly viable solution.
And them aliens were all proving me and shit.
Oh, man. If you guys haven't listened to the last episode, you got to check it out. Scavenging excursions. Not just for shit's a fan. And I know a lot of the lone wolf piece of shit survivalists are like, that's the way I
think. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. I think a lot of those fuckers are like, when the shit hits the fan, I'm just going to go kick indoors and steal food and kill people. Well, you're probably going to get shot and killed, you.
Well, you know what?
Shit.
Those people, okay, if you know those lone wolf survivalists that think that they're going to do that, you know. Do you think that they would have, like, a backup plan? I mean, do you think they'd already have stuff, like, you know, saved up?
Some of them, but I've heard some that are so stupid. Their literal plan is to just stockpile ammo to go steal people's stuff.
Well, if you see one of them, just as soon as the shit hits the fan and you know their location, shoot them in the fucking head.
Do the
world a fucking favor.
They are some useless pieces of shit, yeah. So,
and I am not condoning violence.
So, yeah, I will end the scavenging section with a talk on the shit hit the fan, but we're gonna talk for a while about personal shit hit the fan and more like everyday scenarios before we go into the Mad Max realm, which is fun, but you know.
I'm prepared for Mad Max. I want to kill people.
Yeah. Oh, you jackass. So what are the things?
Mike's views do not necessarily represent the views of the Survival Punk podcast or survivalpunk.com.
They don't. So one of the things I like to do, and I need to get a really good system for this, but so along your bug out routes that you have, there are probably some wild edibles. Probably. I would almost wager $17 trillion on it. There will be something that is edible and wild along one of those routes. Probably all of them, and probably many wild edibles.
Take that with a grain of salt, because you might need the grain of salt to make it taste a little better, but don't listen to Bear Grylls on this. He'd have you eating bear poop.
Yeah. Using some sort of GPS drop pin thing, you can make a personal like Google map of your bug out route, you know, obviously not to be published on the interwebs, and pin those wild edibles. Like, at this location, there's a pawpaw tree. At this, there's wild blackberries, raspberries. There's a wild apple tree back here, and then some grapes, some cattails, you know. So pre-planning your scavenging during your bug out and your bug out route so that you know that, I will not eat that Cliff Bar that I have in my backpack because I know that, 50 feet off the trail right here, I can find a whole patch of, you know, persimmons.
Yeah.
You know, so you can supplement your trip and you can do this without having to carry it. And, you know, of course, you need to pay attention to the seasonality, whereas, like, you know, fall, you could probably eat, you know, some things and then, you know, spring, you get a different variety.
Here's a question. If the shit hits the fan, do you think people will start attacking the zoos?
Super, super shit hit the fan? Maybe. Probably. Eventually, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there was no rule of law, I'm sure some people would just, you know, turn to the zoo animals to eat if they did it quickly enough before they died off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, just one of those things that I think about.
Yeah. So, also along your bug out routes, knowing the game trails would be a valuable information. So, if you know, you know, and you're going to have to spend the night at some point, maybe along your route, and you know that one spot is, you know, a rabbit trail, you can be prepared to set up a bunch of snares, obviously, should hit the fan, not because it's not going to be legal to do that otherwise. You know, you can set up your traps and, you know, hopefully wake up to a nice meal or, you know, prepare a nice meal. But, yeah, knowing that, knowing the knowing that, you know, this area has game, knowing that there's a stream.
Oh, I got game, motherfucker.
Yeah. No, you don't.
I got all the game.
Only,
watch your boo.
Only for fat girls at Taco
Bell.
Hey,
I'm Mr. Steal Your Girl. Fuck you.
Yeah. If there's a stream nearby that you can catch fish in. Oh yeah. So also making caches along the way that have trapping supplies, fishing supplies, hunting supplies, so that when you get to those spots where you're gonna camp overnight, you've got a cache if you don't already have, you know, these supplies with you, so that you can set up your traps and hopefully wake up to a good meal. And
there's nothing like waking up to a good meal.
No.
It keeps you motivated.
Yeah. If you live in an urban area and you're bugging out, you are probably thinking, well, I don't think I'll be able to find wild game unless you find like a, you know, a dog trail that you're going to hunt, you know. But
oh my God.
Some of these rules don't apply to you, but you have a different thing that you can forage with.
Hunting and trapping skills and shit like that. In the area that we live in, very, very fucking valuable. Because there's wild animals all the fuck over the place out here.
There really are.
You see deer constantly. Oh, and yeah. Wild turkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Not even to mention the raccoons, the possums, the rabbits, the squirrels. I mean, the coyotes. I mean, there's fucking wild animals, hawks, owls, everything out here.
There's cows like maybe 200 feet away. There's a horse.
I wouldn't really call them wild, but
yeah, true.
There are people in this world that live on horse meat.
Yep. Actually, it's one of the most prized sushi that you can get in Japan, raw horse meat.
Ew.
I would eat it. I mean, I would try it.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah. So yeah, if you do live in an urban area.
Would you eat dog if you were in South Korea?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
And rat. I'd eat that too. I just saw a news report that maybe a good portion of all the chicken wings being sold in America happen to be rat.
What?
Like, okay.
What?
Yeah. But anyway.
Where are you seeing this shit?
On Facebook. I think I may have saved it somewhere. But anyway, yeah. If you do live in an urban area, don't rule out dumpster diving. You can plot and plan, put those on your maps, and know the good dumpsters to dive in for food and other items. That may turn your stomach, but there are a lot of people that do live on dumpster diving, and stores are pretty frivolous with throwing out things at times. So,
oh God, there was a show of America's Biggest Cheapskates. It was on Netflix for a while, but there was this woman living in New York. Everything she got, all of her food, all of her clothes, everything was from dumpster diving.
Yeah.
And she was like, and it wasn't like she was a bum or anything. She like worked in a law firm or some shit like that.
Yeah.
She was maintaining an apartment in Manhattan, which is and I think pretty much all of her money was going toward maintaining that apartment.
Yeah, which is ridiculous and unsustainable.
All of her furniture was from dumpster diving.
Yeah.
But she had people over and prepared them a meal full of food that was just dumpster dived.
Nice.
She just threw a bunch of stuff into a pot. It looked horrible.
Oh.
I mean, there's better ways to do it than that.
Right, yeah. I saw an episode of American Ninja Warrior where one of the athletes and a very good one, like a high-ranking American Ninja Warrior athlete, a very fit guy, only lived on dumpster-dived food and maintained a good physique with it.
To quote one of the straight-to-video Aladdin movies, it's amazing what you can live through.
Yeah.
The human body is a lot more resilient than most people give it credit for.
And on that, it's not like a lot of the food you'd get from the dumpster is even bad anyway. you know, there may be a bad spot.
It's gone past its expiration date, but that doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, so you grab, so yeah, there are rules. You can look into it, but dumpster dived food, it could be a viable option for you if you're in that urban area.
Just because there's like one bad leaf on the head of lettuce doesn't mean the whole damn head of lettuce has gone bad.
Exactly.
But they have to throw it out.
Yeah.
Say, I mean, people don't want to eat cheese that has mold on it. Tough shit. That's how they age, like, the good cheese in the world.
I mean...
like, the good cheese, like, the big wheels will be mold. They'll just skim the mold off before they sell it.
Yeah. I mean, or, you know, it could be out of date and perfectly fine. It's an arbitrary made-up number.
And what really kills me is expiration dates on canned goods.
Oh, yeah, it's... Yeah.
The vast majority of canned goods will last for decades. What?
What are you drinking?
Oh, yeah, I'm drinking a bottle of water. Hell, I'll even say the brand, Niagara. I love Niagara. It says, best if used by June the 7th of 2018. My water has an expiration date on it.
Yes. Yes. You're what?
My water.
10-million-year-old water or whatever?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. All the water that's on the Earth is the same water that's been on the Earth since the Earth developed water. It just keeps getting recycled. I have no qualms about the fact that this water has possibly been drunken, peed out, God knows how many times by God knows how many people. It's the ultimate recyclable.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And it's been in so many forms. This water could have been a glacier. This water could have been in a swampy puddle at some point.
Yeah, so... expiration dates, we've pretty much talked about it. Yeah, whatever. So yeah, that's it for this episode, and I think it was a good episode. We did an hour. Mike has a Mike's rant. It's gonna be a good one.
And now it is time for the Mike's rant with me, Couch Potato Mike. Yesterday, I decided to take my good friend and co-host James out for a meal at a place called Radizio. It's a Brazilian steakhouse in downtown Nashville. Did it in honor of his birthday, about how he's traveled around the sun so many times, and I wanted him to have a good place at one of his favorite places to go. When we were in downtown Nashville, we kept seeing protesters, feminists of a nature, and this is all loosely tied in to other protesters who've been protesting the inauguration of 45th President Donald J. Trump. I have, you know, a couple of qualms with this. I saw, like, big, bushy, bearded guys, like, this is what a feminist look like, and people screaming about fucking women's rights, and women's like, I'm not a nasty bitch, and all this. I don't... What the fuck are you people even going on about? I mean... people are protesting the president. I don't know if this has never happened before, but I've never seen it happen before in my life. I mean, I didn't see... were there protesters when Obama got elected?
They weren't widespread if they were.
No, they weren't. I mean, I didn't see them protesting either of the Bushes. I didn't see them protesting Clinton. I didn't see them protesting Reagan. I mean, I was born during the Carter administration, so I couldn't see if they protested him, but I'm sure they fucking didn't. He's our president. No amount of signs and screaming is going to change that at this point. Wish him fucking well. I'm hoping he does a spectacular job. I'm hoping he royally surprises everybody and ends up being the greatest goddamn president this country's ever seen. Because why the fuck would you root against that? I mean, shit, rooting against the president of your country is like rooting for the fucking pilot of your plane to fucking crash into a goddamn mountain. I've said that before and I'll fucking say it again. But all these fucking feminists in downtown Nashville, Jesus fucking Christ, just screaming at people. I don't even fucking get it. What the hell? Yes... you know what? I hope you get to meet Trump one day, and I hope you get to fucking say the shit you want to say to him, and I hope he turns around and grabs you by the pussy. I'm Couch Potato Mike, and I'm all ranted out. So, happy ranting, and fuck you, my friends.
Yeah, what a...
You dropped your fidget cube.
I did. Those stupid people. I don't get it. I was annoyed the whole time. I'm like, ah, God, why do we have to pick today to come?
Oh, God, me and my wife, we were already planning something. Like, if, see, because there was a part of me that wanted to be like, why are you protesting about? But then they'd actually give me an answer and I'd have to listen to it. And I would, and me and my wife would have to be like, yeah, 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 whatever. And I'd be like, come on, bitch, and slap her on the ass. And she even said she'd be like, yes, master, and start bowing to me. Because that's why I love my wife. She is that kind of a woman.
It would have been a hoot.
She couldn't even stand the feminists. And by no stretch of the imagination do we have a domineering master-slave relationship or any fucking thing like that. But she hates idiots. And I hate idiots. And those people were just some idiots.
Yeah.
I heard somebody, like, yelling at the carriage drivers to free the horses. I'm hoping that was a joke.
I am as well. It sounded like a joke to me, but they could have been really that stupid.
I mean, goddamn, yes, those horses do pull carriages, you know, like horses have been doing for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
But, you know, those horses, I know for a fact, are very, very well taken care of.
Yes.
They do. Every single horse out there looked very healthy.
They did.
What really got me was the one dude whose carriage was being pulled by a mule.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Well, mules are very, very strong. I mean, none of those horses look depressed.
No.
I mean, and you would say, what does a depressed horse look like? You can tell the difference between a happy horse and a sad horse. What?
It's like if you want to see a sad horse, look out the window.
Oh, God. Yeah, don't even get me started on poor Mona.
Yeah.
I'd like to free that horse.
Free horsey.
And I guess on that terrible disappointment, it is time for us to end. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sicklin Burnett.
Free the horses, you guys.
DIY. DIY to hate feminists, you guys.
You guys! Free feminists.